Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangler.
That's a tie? What are we, true, in Europe? Like, what? Soccer?
Ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah. No, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right. Well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of as today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flo's over there.
I'm not Captain.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah,
on your
wow.
Show,
which just, maybe no, I'm from talent. Is that what we found out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. I am your host, Ryan Dangle. Now, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dangle. That's D-E-N-G-E-L. We are on YouTube. We are back streaming on Twitter. We are also available where you get your audio podcast. Please check us out. This is a big one. Before I bring Brendan to the table, I'm just super excited about this. We just got another 5-star review, and so thank you so much. You didn't leave your name, and so we can't thank you personally, but it means a lot. It helps out the podcast quite a bit. We also hit a pretty big milestone for a group that really doesn't try to promote ourselves on YouTube too much. We hit 300 subscribers, so we're very thankful for all of you for doing that. Let me bring to the stage the assistant editor of Bears Wire. You know him. He's probably the most famous person on our podcast. And by probably, I mean, he definitely is. Welcome to the show, Brendan Chagrou. Now, if you want to find him on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagrou. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. Hey, Brendan, how are you, buddy?
Hello, Mr. Ryan. I'm doing well. It's a fun midweek podcast, and feel like this is now when the dust settles for a lot of Bears stuff, so we can take a breath and kind of get ready for the regular season. But I'm good. I'm doing good. I'm just ready for football. Like, I don't know if you did you watch any college football last weekend?
I didn't, and I heard all of those games were amazing, so I'm a little bit kicking myself that I didn't. But no, didn't get a chance.
Ah, man. See, like week zero is always just one of those things. There's usually one or two good games. I was watching Georgia Tech, Florida State, and it was competitive, and I was just so excited. That was a perfect teaser. So I'm excited for college football this weekend. I'm so excited for the Bears in week one in just a week and a half. So, we're talking real football soon, man. Like that's why we do this.
It's crazy, man. Just finishing up Hard Knocks, which we're going to jump into in just a minute. And, you know, I think one of the cool things about doing the podcast tonight is better than even last night, where a lot of podcasts are recording, they're broadcasting, they're talking about that stuff. We get a chance to actually look at the practice squad too, because some of those really interesting kind of storylines were centered around guys that got cut, and then you're wondering what's going to happen. And so now we get to kind of find out. So I'm pretty excited about that. Brendan, before we do that, we've got some people that we have to give some shout outs to. And so the first one is going to go to my guy, our guy, He's your guy, Jeff Cadwallader. So attention, Chicagoland investors and business owners. Need a commercial real estate expert? Look no further than our guy, Jeff Cadwallader at SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate in Geneva. With generations of experience, Jeff specializes, in office, retail, investment, and land properties. For all your commercial real estate needs, trust Jeff Cadwallader. Visit jeffcre.com or give him a call or a text, 630-254-4734. Folks, let me just say this. If you do talk to Jeff Cadwallader, please, please, please let him know that the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast say hello. Well, you know, it's that time. It's that season. Brendan, I don't know, man. Is it time to get a haircut?
It's always time to get a haircut. You can hear me, right? Everything's good?
You sound a little funny. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to have you keep looking to see if we can finish that. And I'm going to go ahead and talk about the amazing, wonderful people at Hensel's and Sheridan's. Let me just say this. I was the guy that was like, oh, you know, I like the person who cuts my hair. She's good at it. And then I went to a barber shop and I will never go back because I got my guy, Will. All of the guys at Hensel's and Sheridan's are so freaking good at what they do. You've got to check it out, right? So they've been around for a really, really, really long time, but they're under new ownership. They've made both places look so good. So if you're going to go to Hensel's Barbershop in downtown Naperville, it's awesome. So you can walk in, make an appointment. You can go to henselsbarber.com. We've got it there up on the screen for you. Or you can go to sheridansbarbershop.com to get into their Sheridan's location, which is in downtown Wheaton. Either place that you go to, you're going to get a phenomenal, phenomenal freaking haircut. You're going to have a great time when you do it. If you talk to the guys at Hensel's or Sheridan's, let them know the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast sent you because you want to go there. It's where traditional meets modern. All right. So Brendan, let's talk Hard Knocks. What'd you think, dude? What'd you think about this last episode?
Okay, well, first off, if I'm still having mic problems, yeah, I know. Okay, things we're going to figure this out, all right? Things happen. I'm not even going to.
Technology is awesome. Okay, well, while Brendan is still trying to figure this out, you're all stuck listening to me. And so I'll just say this. I posted a tweet, and it just kind of blew up this morning, which is kind of crazy. Essentially, my whole takeaway from this was the Bears look like a competent organization. And I've got all these people coming back at me like, you're an idiot. You're putting the cart before the horse. How dare you? You know, the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm like, whoa, time out. That's not at all what I said. What I said was the Bears look like a competent organization, which I think is a far cry from what we saw a couple years ago. And, you know, just listening to that final conversation with Ian Wheeler, that was an unbelievable gut punch, just watching that kid in that situation, just to get cut, to see the long hug with mom, but then to see Ryan Poles kind of step into this position of, yes, I'm a GM, but I'm going to be a good human being. Because sometimes there's like a coldness that kind of happens, at least with some of the previous Hard Knock seasons. Here's a guy saying like, dude, I've been there because he did play in the NFL, and a chance to say, you know, I'm here, I'm available to you. You know, Ryan Poles is far from perfect. I mean, truly far from perfect. But he's done a lot good. I think he's done more good than he has done bad. I mean, we talked about the Chase Claypool. That is bad, objectively bad. But I bet if he was here in this space, if he was talking on the Bear Down Chicago podcast, he would say, yeah, you know what? It was a bad move. I took a shot and it wasn't something that worked out. And so the Chase Claypool situation, bad. But Ryan Poles has done, I think, significantly more good stuff than he's done bad stuff. And so it was really cool to see him throughout this whole, you know, the four episodes that we've seen, he looks competent. He looks confident. He looks kind. He looks thorough, just in charge of all of it. And I'm here for it. I'm excited about it. Brendan, maybe sort of.
It's not recognizing the mic. So we're just going to go with this, but
it's better than you did a minute ago. So we got that going for us.
That's fine. We'll go with it. It is what it is. It's still preseason technically. No, I definitely agree with you. I had similar thoughts. I mean, just the compassion and having somebody who's a former player, especially a former player who came in as an undrafted free agent too. So Ryan Poles knows the hardships of trying to make a roster and then knowing that, hey, you're not going to make it. And he pivoted his career quickly. That was a really special moment where he probably has similar conversations with other guys, but to just say, hey, we want to keep you on. We see something in you. You're going to be able to rehab here. You're going to be able to learn. Make sure that you don't kind of fall behind on that, because that's where a lot of growth can come in, and then see what happens next year. I thought was really, really good. Listening to his press conference today too, Ryan Poles is one of those guys. He doesn't BS in his press conferences. He is pretty straight to the narrow. Like he'll tell it like it is. And he pretty much said, he's like, this is definitely the hardest it's been, because he's built such a competitive roster. He's also surrounded the team with likable and high character guys too. I mean, that just goes from the top down, like guys like DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roman Dunze, and even guys like we're talking about Ian Wheeler, Austin Reed. From top to bottom, it's a very likable team. And so the fact that he's having those hard conversations, and, you know, people have said, he in his press conference, he said that some of the players have said, this is the deepest team I've ever seen. So I'm very encouraged by that. And I think he's just doing a very, very good job with building this team and building it the right way. And man, it was only 2 years ago, Ryan, where we were talking about Alex Leatherwood and, you know, Kingsley Jonathan, all of the guys that Ryan Poles was just taking crap and throwing it against a wall to see what sticks, because that's how bad the roster was. They didn't claim a single guy this time. And none of the cuts, I'd say, I don't know about you, I'm sure we'll get into it, none of them were really surprising. Like, I think we all kind of saw this coming, whereas the last few years, that wasn't the case. So this just goes to show what kind of team this is.
I think the other thing that I came away with is not necessarily just related to Hard Knocks, but is the continuing this conversation about Ryan Poles, is he sees a need somewhere on the roster, and he trades or acquires that talent in some way without giving up like unreal draft capital. Just thinking about the way that Ryan Pace just threw draft picks away, like they were absolutely nothing, overpaying for everything. I mean, again, aside from the Chase Claypool, which was bad, bad, bad. I mean, he just, you know, you need some help at defensive tackle. You bring somebody in, right? You bring in this kid from Seattle, whose name is escaping me right now, as a situational pass rusher. Like it's the stuff that we look and say, well, hey, they're not there yet, but he's working towards it and bringing in the right people.
Yeah. It's Darryl Taylor, the name you're looking
for. Thank you.
But yeah, like it's this weird balance where Ryan Poles isn't shy about trading away assets. He really isn't. I mean, over the last few years, he's, you know, I know you mentioned the Claypool trade, the Sweat trade, and yes, the Claypool trade was a big miss. Sweat trade, big hit. But the thing he's not doing is overpaying with draft picks. He's pretty much, I think he's doing a good job for the most part of setting the value right. There's only a few things, like, yeah, at least with the Claypool situation, Bruja, he tried something. He needed to do something because the roster was in disarray.
It was hot garbage.
It was hot garbage. They were trying to figure out ways to improve it. But yeah, with trading for Darryl Taylor, he's somebody who brings that pass rushing expertise to the Bears, who can get after the quarterback. He's not great at going after the run, but for a 6th-round pick, you can live for that. I think with Ryan Pace, the thing was he would compile and kind of like stack picks on top of each other and, you know, almost outplay himself, whereas he feels like he needs to offer more and more. And that's where the Bears got into the worst situation, where they maybe didn't have a plethora of picks and then they're trading multiple picks just to move up. That's the issue where I think Ryan Poles has done a good job of not spending too much. I think of the Mitch Trubisky trade, you know, surrendering what, like a third, a fifth, and, you know, even more just to move up one freaking spot. That, like, something like that, Poles is not going to do.
To get the wrong quarterback. I've had a couple back and forth with some Giants fans and some Bears fans that watched the Giants this off season. I thought they came away looking like a dysfunctional organization, that they just made some decisions that made you just go, wait, what? Why are you doing that? And some of them pushing back, and some, you know, one Giants fan, and I'm sorry, I don't have your username in front of me, but just being like, the difference between watching the Bears and the Giants makes me want to cry, because the Giants didn't look like a functional organization. And I just, you know, yeah, there's no swearing in this Hard Knocks, but I just, you know, and yeah, maybe it doesn't have the sexy plot lines that some of the other seasons have had, but I think that's the thing. I can't get away from this point, is they just look semi-competent, which I can't think of a time when a Bears organization has looked this semi-competent, maybe when it wasn't Lovie Smith walking us towards the Super Bowl.
That's very true. I will kind of push back a little bit on that. I think the Bears are competent. Like, I'm not just, you know, dismissing that at all. You're definitely right. What I think the Bears realized, though, is that the Giants didn't do a great job of vetting their own material. And they didn't do a good job of kind of like controlling the narrative and controlling the edit, which they could do. They maybe just said, yeah, just put it out there, whatever. And then they looked terrible with those decisions. And it's, you know, it was a lot more real. There are things that have happened with the Bears that have not been aired with Hard Knocks. And I'm not just saying with the curse words or anything like that. There have been a few camp blow up fights. There was one big one reportedly last Monday or Tuesday, one of the days, one of the final public practices. We didn't hear anything about it. I posted about that on social media and somebody's like, there was a big fight. From Hard Knocks perspective, you would think everything every single day is hunky dory. You're not seeing any of the missteps. They did show a little bit of the Caleb Williams like missing targets and stuff like that early on, but you haven't even seen that. So yeah. I just think the Bears have done a much better job of controlling the narrative and controlling what's actually getting shown. But I don't disagree that Ryan Poles is a much more competent and a much better front. The Bears have a much better front office than the Giants do at this point, because it seems like from everything we've seen and also heard too, that they're doing things the right way. Whereas the Giants, it was a little finicky.
The only thing I guess I would say to the fight is, fights happen at every camp with all 32 teams. I agree. Mm-hmm. It probably would have made for a little bit like more interesting watch. But you know, I think tempers flare and I don't know. I see what you're saying, but for me, it's not important, as important, I guess I should say. Anything else you want to talk about with Hard Knocks? Cause I really do want to get to the 53 man roster. I think there's a lot of interesting things to talk about here.
I'm so mad we missed a Phil Woodman cameo. We needed that Phil Woodman cameo. It was so funny because this is the I was just like, you know, they show Rome and I forget who he was with. John Jackson, maybe. They show them both in the grocery store. I was like, is that the Jules? I was like, I don't think that's the Jules. I'm trying to figure out where that is. And then I see the wood on the back. I was like, this Woodman. So I'm like, wait, we couldn't get a Phil Woodman cameo on HBO? Come on. Let the man shine, because he's delivering better products and better services served by better people.
So two people that are associated with this podcast, their tweets were shown on Hard Knocks. So obviously I'm talking to one of them. Brendan, do you know the other person associated with this podcast whose tweets were shown?
One of our old guests, Sarah Spain, had hers last week. I don't know.
She did indeed. She did. And she's in our intro video. So basically she's a part of the podcast, you know, naturally. All right. Let's talk 53, man. There's a lot of stuff. I would agree with you. I don't think there were any big surprises, but a couple things that kind of stood out to me. I don't want to go through, because anyone that's out there, you can go through each of them. Just a couple things that I want to highlight and just kind of get your thoughts on it, Brendan. And then, you know, anything that you want to talk about, I would love to hear it. So two quarterbacks, not three. I know that there was a lot of going back and forth about that. I am especially interested in the fact that Austin Reed is going to be the practice squad quarterback. And so not Brett Rippon, which I think is really interesting. Maybe they saw a lot of upside in him. I'm not really sure. I'd love to get your thoughts on that one. Having four running backs plus Kari Blasengame, like that is one. And you're keeping Velus, who's probably going to be running the football more than he's going to be catching the football. Because, you know, he loves to drop it or fumble it when he catches it. Sorry, Jack, you're not here to – sorry. keeping 10 offensive linemen instead of 9. I thought that one kind of stood out to me as well. And the one that we were talking about right before you got, well, actually, sorry, there's two more things. Keeping 6 defensive ends. That one, that's a lot. That's a lot of guys. Now I know some of them can kind of rotate in stuff like that. And so that one kind of stood out to me a little bit. And then as it sits right now, technically speaking, there is no long snapper on the Chicago Bears 53-man roster. Brennan, what are you kind of thinking about all that?
Whew. Well, let's go back to the quarterback. We'll kind of go in order from what you said. I actually found it interesting, too, that the Bears decided to bring Austin Reed on the practice squad because the last couple of years that spot was reserved for the veteran, Nathan Peterman, and they would elevate him if need be. And I think you could make a good argument that it would be okay if Brett Rippon would be able to do that. He knows the offensive system. He knows that if for some reason, God forbid, Caleb or Tyson gets hurt, he can easily come up and operate the system in a pinch. But it shows to me that they're wanting to develop guys, and they see something in Austin Reed who he can do that. So, it feels just more like they're actually trying to take the time to develop these guys instead of just trying to be like, well, we know what you can do. We know your strengths, weaknesses, whatever. We know we can use you in a pinch. So, and I think that also just goes to show the belief in Tyson Bagent. I think there was no question that he was going to make the backup quarterback job, but the fact that they release Brett Rippon and have Austin Reed, who I think you can say, I don't know if it's like sacrilege to say, I thought Brett Rippon was a better quarterback overall in the preseason than Austin Reed, but I like the idea that Austin can bring something from a developmental standpoint. I just think that goes to show like how strongly they believe in what Bagent can do and him having to back up if need be.
I was so interested in that, and I thought this offseason you might see a Ryan Tannehill show up to be, you know, that veteran kind of backup, maybe slash mentor, someone along those lines. But Tyson Bagent, man, I mean, you just kept seeing him just then the Bears being very confident in him kind of oozing this confidence. And yeah, he flashed really well last preseason. And the Bears were obviously very confident in him, but he looks different. He looks so much better. And I just thinking to myself is I am far more confident in a Tyson Bagent backup than I am probably some of those other guys that are out on the street and maybe available.
Yeah. It's funny. Like last year you're seeing this guy come in and you're like, oh, this is cute. This is fun. It's a nice story. And wow, he's performing really well. Like when are the wheels going to fall off or something like that. But this year, he looks so much more confident and in command. And I mean, his arms look bigger. Like he looks older. I don't know. He looks like he went from like a 16-year-old to a 26-year-old overnight, just with how much bigger he's gotten. He said he's grinded his face off, and you can see it in not only how he looks, but how he plays. It just feels like he's so calm and confident under center. And I'm kind of shocked. Like I had a feeling he was going to be the backup quarterback, pretty early on, but I was still a little bit nervous. Those nerves are gone. I feel very confident if he has to go in, because in much more than last year, I think he can actually be a guy that you can win because of, not obviously at the same level as Caleb, but he can actually win you games instead of just keeping the rig on the road.
I do wonder, were they planning on playing him another drive before that touchdown run? You know what I'm saying? In the last preseason game, like it was that their intention. And then they said, we're taking you out right now. Obviously Brett Rippon and Austin Reed needed to get some playing time, but I had a feeling that he might have gotten yoinked just one series early because he looked so damn good. Him scrambling to his left and throwing a deep ball. I mean, no one's going to mistake him for Caleb Williams or maybe some other really great experienced quarterback, but that was a legit throw. And just to the confidence for a right-handed quarterback to shift to his left and be able to throw it downfield like that with that accuracy, it was fun to watch, man. It was really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think he did play two drives, by the way. I think the second one they did go like three and out or maybe like one first down, and then they yoinked him after that. Only two drives.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, what I should have said is I think they pulled him a drive earlier than they anticipated. That's just me guessing. I don't actually know anything. Should we talk running backs and fullbacks?
Yeah, let's do it.
Your boy, Kari Blasingame is back. It was just official with the Chicago Bears. And so now there are four running backs and a fullback. That seems to me like a crowded room, dude. Talk to me.
Actually, isn't it five if you're counting Bayless?
Bayless? Yeah, then it is. Yes.
Yeah. I think they're listing him technically as a wide receiver or whatever. It doesn't – I mean, semantics. But, yeah, that this one was a little surprising too because I think everybody believed that Travis Homer was going to be one of the odd men out, especially later on. I know I kind of caught some flack when training camp was just beginning saying that I thought Khalil Herbert could be trade bait. I thought he could potentially be on the outs just as somebody who – maybe didn't fit what the Bears wanted to do, like too many mouths to feed, all of that. He had a great preseason. He was phenomenal, and he really took advantage of the opportunities with Roschon Johnson being out. So those worries were quickly erased because he definitely earned that spot. But, yeah, I really thought that Travis Homer was going to be on the outs. I wonder if that was supposed to be Ian Wheeler's spot and the Bears were going to have somebody like that. And because I was wondering about that. They were trying to pit the competition between Wheeler and Velus Jones. I'm not sure if that was the case. I think it was just one of those narratives that were driven on HBO. I kind of thought it was more Ian Wheeler or Travis Homer. Obviously, with Ian Wheeler's injury, they wanted to keep Homer. And I was worried about that Blasingame was going to be cut just simply because Shane Waldron uses the two tight end set quite a bit. He hadn't had a need for a fullback before, but I really do love Kari Blasingame. He's a good blocker. He's much more athletic than people give him credit for. I think he can carry the rock and catch passes if need be. I really like what he brings to the offense. So it's so funny too, because I was messaging with Alyssa from Bears Wire yesterday, and she sent me the info that Kari Blasingame was released. And I said, like, I just used a bunch of expletives. I was like, no, what the hell? Like, this is bullshit. And then I read again, they're like, oh, they're planning on re-signing him. I was like, oh, never mind. We're good. Everything's fine.
I would say, yeah, you've been pounding the table for him and the respect for him. And you're right. You know, I do wonder that, you know, one of the knocks in Shane Waldron is his inability to run, especially later on in the season. So I do wonder, like, keeping a fullback is a way to essentially encourage him in order to, like, continue to do so. It's an interesting stable of backs. DeAndre Swift, is he a true number one running back, like true number one? How much do they want to get Roschon in there? Khalil Herbert, like you said, is he the forgotten guy, or is he, you know, does he have a very prominent role in this? And then is Homer just special teams, or are they going to let him carry the football too? Like, and then of course, as we talked about earlier, Velus, who's listed as a wide receiver, but I mean, it would seem that he's going to be a running back. So it's an oddball room, you know?
It really is. Yeah. I could definitely see two of those guys being inactive on game days. And also, you got to remember, Travis Homer is carrying a $2 million cap hit. Like, that's not, look, he's not the most expensive guy, but that's still not chump change. So it is a little surprising the Bears are committing to that. I do wonder how many games he's going to play. And this also could be kind of a, not necessarily running back by committee, because DeAndre Swift is clearly the starter. But remember last year how early on it was Roschon, Khalil Herbert, Deontay Foreman, and Kari Blasingame. Homer was there too. in week two and week three, Deontay Foreman was inactive. He was on it like right away. He was kicked out of the rotation. So I do think that could happen with one of these guys quickly, but it's never a bad thing to have rotating guys like that because injuries happen. And the Bears were kind of saved by having those three backs because all three of them contributed in some way last year in key moments.
Deontay Foreman saved my fantasy season too. So I'm a pretty big fan in that regard. So Brendan, unofficially they have a long snapper, but officially they don't. So do you see Travis Homer or Velus Jones or someone else that's kind of one of these, fringe guys? Do you see them cutting those guys to make room for the long snapper? Like, how do you kind of see this playing out?
It could be one of those guys. I don't think it's going to be Velus Jones. I do wonder if they, I don't know, the whole contract situation with Kari Blossom game, I don't think they can like move him down to the practice squad, move him up. I feel like if Travis Homer was going to be gone, he would have been gone. I do think they're probably going to move one of the either defensive ends or the offensive linemen down. I'm looking to Doug Kramer. I don't know what he's doing there, especially with Ryan Bates being back at practice this week. So he, to me, feels like the odd man out in that situation. But yes, the Bears did bring in a long snapper, Scott Daly from the Lions. He is on the practice squad. I'm not sure if the Bears have updated it or not, but that was the plan, and he will be elevated at some point for the first week of the season.
You know, it's just funny that you really don't think about Patrick Scales, which is exactly what you want for your long snapper.
Well, I think about him a lot, okay? Like, he's one of my favorites. He is one of the all-time vibes guys. If you watch the Bears videos, like, he's a vibes guy.
Okay, the average fan that is not Brendan Shagrew, the assistant editor of Bears Wire, does not think about Patrick Scales very often. And what I mean by that is not that he's not a wonderful human being, because I have heard nothing but just how awesome he is. It is simply the fact that he's so damn consistent that you just don't think about him. And so that's why it's just, you know, it makes me just a little bit nervous to bring in a new long snapper, because there is a timing and rhythm. You have a new holder for Cairo Santos in Torrey Taylor. And so I just, you know, I'm not really worried about it, but it is one of those things that's kind of sort of in the back of my mind.
It's a really good point, and I think you should be worried about it, to be honest. It's a very, we do take it for granted. But the operation has to hit on all cylinders every single time. And Scales and, I guess, Cairo have been around each other for a long time. They're still getting established with Torrey Taylor. Pat Scales Bruja is Pat Manley 2.0. He really is. Like, he is the longest tenured Bear at this point. He also contributes to the Long Snapper of the Year award that is named after Patrick Manley. So that is not like, you're right on the money. Like, he's Pat Manley 2.0. But the Bears, if I remember correctly, they had issues when they were going off of Patrick Manley and trying to find Scales. 2014, they had some kicker issues. Robbie Gold wasn't as good as he was. 2015 was Scales' first year. That also was Robbie Gold's last year and worst year as a Bear. I don't think that's a coincidence. 2016, Scales was hurt. They brought in somebody else. Their field goal kicking situation was god-awful. I think Connor Barth was the kicker back then. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
you forget, Robbie Gold solidified that position forever, and then it was just a sea of bad for so long until Cairo, right? Like, you know, we can say Eddie Pinheiro had a good season-ish. But like, until it's Cairo, I mean, and now I don't think about it, right? I don't think about special teams. I mean, you know, if Cairo had to go out there for a 62-yard to try to win, then I don't think that's gonna happen. But I'm just saying, if it's inside 40, like, Cairo's probably gonna hit that field goal, which is just it's a nice thing not have to worry about that component of special teams.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, like, God, we haven't had to think about a kicker in like 3 to 4 years now, which is, this will be Cairo's fifth season. And technically, I mean, he wasn't around in 2017 for a cup of coffee, but yeah, we haven't had to think about it. But the point I was trying to make is, like, you swapping out the long snappers and, you know, continuing to disrupt that operation can lead to some bad things, because field goal kicking was not great for the Bears in 2016 and 2017, not only because of the kicker, but also because of the long snapper. So hopefully this guy from the Lions, he's a local kid. He can come in and just solidify that for the time being. And hopefully Patrick Scales is okay, because reports are that he is having back surgery. And for somebody who's in their late 30s as a long snapper, who, you know, if you think about long snapping, you're kind of bending down a lot with your back. That's kind of scary.
I had back surgery. Many of you know that I coached gymnastics for 17 years. So I had spine surgery, and let's just say, like, the doctor was basically like, you're never going to be quite the same again. Clearly I'm not Patrick Scales. I'm not a professional athlete, but I'll just tell you, man, it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. The recovery was, you know, you forget that your back is everything. It's every component of your life. You can't sit, you can't sleep, you can't lay down, you know, like all that stuff. And so, man, I hope he has a quick recovery. Brendan, is it okay? Can we hop into a question that we got from a friend of the podcast? And so we'll put the offensive line on hold, because Jorge Gagiola, Jorge, it's wonderful to talk to you. It's wonderful to see you in the chat. How optimistic are you about Booker and Hardy? I think we have some good with them. Brendan, I want to hear your thoughts first.
Yeah, thanks for chiming in, Jorge. I am very optimistic when it comes to Austin Booker. He has just flashed every single chance he's gotten. I think I said it on this podcast too. Coming in, like, a lot of people thought he was raw because he hadn't had a lot of college snaps. And I think while that is a little bit true, I also think he's just also unproven, because he's got a ton of tricks up his sleeve when it comes to rushing the passer. He's got a nice spin move. He can overpower guys. He's got that long arm technique that he learned from Montez Sweat. And speaking of Sweat, he's taken him under his wing. He's just talked about how Booker is light years ahead of where he was as a rookie pass rusher. Mind you, Montez Sweat was a first-round pick out of Mississippi State. So really goes to show how special this kid can be. I kind of want to temper expectations early on, just because I'm not sure how many opportunities he's going to get, especially with Daryl Taylor being here now. It could be a little bit limited, but I really think that he is something. He's going to develop into a very, very good player for this defensive line. As for Daniel Hardy, I'm not, like, pessimistic on him. I'm not, like, down on him. I just am not totally buying that his preseason tape is going to translate to the regular season. I personally was surprised that he made the team at all, because I just felt like the way the Bears were telegraphing their moves was that Dominique Robinson was going to be getting in over him. And while he technically did, Hardy just kind of feels like that last player on the team. He very well could be on the practice squad again if some of these moves happen where they're trying to elevate players ready for week one. So I was very happy with what he did in the preseason. He's a guy who's motored. He doesn't quit. He's been around, and he's had to work his ass off to get to where he is now. He's definitely earned this opportunity. I just wouldn't count on him to play meaningful regular season snaps.
So what I'll say about Austin Booker is that I think, Brendan, you and I are lock sync. And I think that a lot of the other guys on the podcast keep telling us to pump the brakes, but I think you should be excited about him. He's a rookie, and with all of our rookies, Bears fans need to remember that they are rookies and they will make mistakes. They will make rookie mistakes. But I do think that he's going to flash at times, and I'm excited about the prospect of seeing where he goes. Brendan, your point about his bag of tricks, right? He's not a one-trick pony, and I think that's the thing that has me most excited. When he continues to add size and strength, I think he's going to be a really good player. I'm excited about it. On the Daniel Hardy thing, I disagree with you. I think because they are a little thin at the top of that defensive line, they had to bring in somebody that showed something. And so you're right. I don't think he's going to be their starter by any measure, but I just think if he comes in for a situation here or there, perhaps he picks up special teams. I don't know. I'm excited for a guy that really showed out in camp and really showed out in the preseason to be able to make this roster. And so I think I'm not over the moon. I'm not thinking that this, I mean, if he's the guy that gets cut so he can have a long snapper, I'm going to look like an idiot, but I'm going to look like an idiot regardless. But honestly, I think it's cool. I think it's a cool story. Offensive line.
Yeah. Offensive line.
they have 10. They have 10 offensive linemen, with Larry Borum headed to injured reserve. A little bummed about that, just because I know he was a little bit of a bubble guy. Any surprises that you're seeing with the offensive line? I know you talked to Doug Kramer. Anything other than Doug Kramer?
I guess the only one is Jeterry Carter getting cut, and that happened technically on Monday, or at least it came out on Monday, so it was a little less shocking when it actually happened on Tuesday. But the fact that they kept somebody like Bill Murray as well as Doug Kramer over him, I thought he showed a little bit more. He was a little limited in what he could do in terms of like position, though. He was kind of like a strictly right guard type of player. I didn't really see him on the left side, so I think that hurt his chances, because Eberflus talked about some of these guys, like Matt Pryor, for example. He's like, oh, he can play tackle, he can play guard, he can play either side. So they're really looking for versatility there. I think that's what they saw in somebody like Murray. But that also kind of raises the question about Doug Kramer, because he's strictly a center, and you have Coleman Shelton, and you now have Ryan Bates, who you've been playing there too. So you have essentially three centers on your team. So, but I know we're going to be talking about this for the rest of the position groups too. I mean, these are the bottom of the barrel guys. A lot of them are going to be, you know, in potentially inactive on game days. But yeah, I think the Borum thing, to your point, was a little surprising. I thought it could have been like an injury settlement kind of deal where they let him go and they stick with somebody like Matt Pryor or Karan Amagaje. Now it would be that swing tackle once he gets up to speed. So I think we'll see what happens, how quickly he's able to get back. But I think Jatari Card is the biggest surprise there.
You say Karan Amagaje, and that's a guy that I'm genuinely very curious. Like, how does he fit into this? I know when we talked to Coach Ryan McHugh, who is his high school offensive line coach, you know, he talked about his versatility, being able to play inside and outside. I want to see this kid. I want to see what he can do, because I know before his injury, like, really a lot of people really excited about what he might be able to do.
Yeah, it really stinks that he was literally just able to come back right when training camp ended. So he's really only getting a few practices. He can't get in preseason games. I'm a little surprised, actually, that the Bears brought him back when they did, because they could have put him on PUP. Now, that does mean he misses the first 6 weeks, but that's 6 weeks to kind of continue to ramp up and keep somebody else on the roster who can contribute. I'm a little nervous, like, is he going to be active week one? I kind of would be shocked if he is, because he's still like, if some, God forbid, something happens to Braxton Jones or Darnell Wright, are you putting Karan Amagaje out there in week one as your swing tackle when he has like virtually no reps? Right.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard pass. So I'm very intrigued like you. I want to see how they use him. I want to see if he's going to have much of a role this year. It kind of sounds like he's supposed to be having a redshirt year no matter what. But yeah, that's going to be something to follow, especially if injuries start to happen.
Matt Pryor and Bill Murray, just got guys that get a shot. I think it's cool. I agree with you. We're talking non-starters. So I think it's time. Let's move on. We sort of talked defensive end, defensive tackle. Anything with Chris Williams signing, does that move the needle for you in any way, shape, or form?
Not really. He's barely played. I don't really know anything about him. From some people I've talked to from the previous stops, they really sing his praises. They think he's a really solid guy. They think he can be a contributor. So clearly the Bears saw something in him to not wait until cuts happened and do a pick swap to make sure they got him. But I was interested to see if they were going to try to add somebody else. There were a couple defensive linemen that I was targeting. who could potentially be somebody like space eaters, like Andrew Billings, because the Bears really only have one guy like that. Jerron Dexter slimmed down. Zach Pickens is pretty thin as well. Those guys are more, you know, would play the three technique, I would say. I'd be worried if something happens to Andrew Billings, because I just don't think they're capable of having somebody to fill his space literally and figuratively.
Played his way into a new contract. I think rightfully so. Solid, solid player. Yeah, that one makes me really nervous because the back end of this defense is so damn good. I mean, that secondary truly might be one of the top five units in the league. I mean, they have a potential to be special, but if the defensive line is super thin, you know, that puts so much pressure on them. And while I think a few of those guys can live up to that, I just, you got to get them some kind of help. And so, you know, a little beef in the middle of the defensive line sure would help that out a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just go back to it. If something happens to Billings, if something happens to Dexter, they're screwed. I don't believe in Zach Pickens. I don't know enough about Chris Williams. I know they picked up a couple people on their own practice squad who could potentially fill in, but that's pretty much the big, I think that's the biggest weakness of the team right now. And they're pretty top heavy. So just pray for good health, man. Cause things could go south if something happens to those two.
Absolutely. Linebacker. The only one that kind of sort of got me was Noah Sewell, with him being hurt. And, you know, just Carl Jones Jr. having such a damn good camp. And our guy, Micah Baskerville. Yeah. Dude, all he does is get pick sixes, man. I don't know, like, what's he got to do? But both those guys getting signed to the practice squad shows I work on a podcast, and I am not a football coach for a professional football league. So there's that.
I think it's also... I think it's also special teams is kind of an issue with Baskerville too, unfortunately. So as good as he is on defense, if you can't play special teams, you can't be a gunner, you're going to be limited. So they obviously saw something a little bit more in Sewell, who does have pretty good special teams abilities.
Yes. Kind of rounding things out, because I think we pretty much hit the big stuff on the roster. We can absolutely talk about anything that I might have missed, Brendan, but it was cool to see both Steven Carlson, the tight end, make the practice squad, as well as Colin Johnson, the Hall of Fame game champion, Colin Johnson, to make the practice squad. And then one that I was genuinely very surprised by, that Reddy Stewart somehow made it to the practice squad. I thought that dude for sure was going to get snatched up. To have two picks in one game and to have one of them as a pick six. Like, I just, you know, there's got to be a team out there that is a need for a corner. And that's a good one. That's a very, very, very good one. That really surprised me.
Yeah. So we do this a lot. We do this every year. And collectively, we look at the players that are potentially going to be released or waived, and everybody says there's no way that guy's going to get through. Like, there's absolutely no way. He's way too good. He's not going to be on the practice squad. And lo and behold, he's on the practice squad. I've pretty much thought that for most of these guys for the last few years, that like we overvalue them like crazy. Reddy Stewart was probably the only one that I was actually worried about, because of the fact that nickel corner is such a niche position. And if you find somebody, especially in 2024, with just the amount of passing offenses, how important that is with that coverage. Teams are playing three cornerbacks. They're not playing three linebackers traditionally. You need somebody like that. And he showed the ability to play at that level, to at least be serviceable for a team. And especially when you consider the Panthers, they claimed like three or four cornerbacks today. I don't know if you saw that. Like, they are just trying to – they're doing what the Bears did 2 years ago. You have a new GM, you have a new coach, and they are just trying to grab as many people as possible to see what sticks, and a lot of them were corners. So, yeah, I was actually a little surprised that Reddy Stewart made it. This guy was a ball hawk in college. He has a lot of experience playing at Troy, and all he did was just – pick passes off. So I'm really excited about what he can do. I can definitely see him having a Greg Stroman-like impact if he needs to get elevated for injuries for whatever reason. But that also goes to show how strong and how deep this cornerback position group is, because while I really liked Reddy Stewart, Josh Blackwell had a really good camp. And yep. Kyler Gordon's Kyler Gordon. If he could stay yep. healthy, he's, you know, he's a menace. So that just goes to show how good this position group is. Did you see the tweet from Potash today? With
no.
Oh my God, he all he did was compare the roster from 2021 to 2024. Dude, do you remember? This was our like first full year doing the podcast together. How bad that secondary was.
How bad that team was, period.
Yeah. Yeah, but like Kendall Vildor and Duke Shelley and Marquis Christian were your starters with Jalen Johnson, man.
Woof, 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 and woof. Brendan, anything else you want to talk about with the 53-man roster? This has been a good episode. While you're getting set up for that, folks, our next episode – every single time we do this, it's our season predictions. We're going to go through every game, wins and losses. And this is something that has not yet happened on the Bear Down Chicago podcast. All six of us will be present for it. I can't believe we got the whole band together. It's going to be a fun episode. We're gonna laugh a lot, and we're gonna pick. So you know if the Bears are going to win or lose. Like, you're going to know because we've already picked it all. So. Brennan, anything about that episode or anything else about the 53-man roster that you'd like to talk about?
You will have to tune in to see if I pick another tie again.
I was listening. The video that you made, first and foremost, I don't give you enough credit. It is so freaking awesome. For all of you audio only listeners, please just come by and watch the video that Brennan put together, the audio. It's so awesome. It's so awesome, and it makes me laugh every single time. And it's, you picked a tie? Like, I hear myself saying that. And so, yeah, if you pick a tie again, you're off the podcast.
No, you can't do that. You put together the video. You keep, bumping me up. Like, you actually did the video, which looks phenomenal. It's great to have that. You did great. Even, actually matching up some of the clips with the audio that I picked. I just ripped the audio and you went in and found the clips to them. So props to you. It is really good. And your face when I picked the tie was just, you were just so confused. It was the funniest thing, man.
I'm sure for any of you tuning in for the very first time, we have a whole lot of fun on the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Cam Ellis said this, something like, you guys are too good of friends that sometimes you need to fight. And it was like, oh, we fight. At one point I thought that we were going to have to jump through the screen to stop Patrick Sheldon and Jack Wright from killing each other. And they're totally fine. They're totally cool. But they were at odds. So we're looking forward to that episode very, very much. So Brennan, anything else that we missed? Anything at all?
I'm just going to highlight Bruja here. There's six people on the podcast. There is six people on the podcast. We just don't have everybody all at once. It's obviously Ryan Dangle, Patrick Sheldon, Jack Wright, Logan Bradley, Cam Ellis, and then myself. So for the first time, we brought on Cam last year or earlier this winter, I believe. We all had not been on a show together. So it's going to be Ryan has the distinct honor of trying to corral everybody, which is just, I'm so sorry. Like that's going to be the worst thing ever.
So just peeling back the curtain, just super, super quick. The reason why we do it is because we're all insanely busy in our real lives and the things that we do. The amount of writing that Brendan does, stop what you're doing. Go to Bears Wire right now. Read some of the phenomenal stuff that this dude is writing. We're all very, very busy. Shells and I have little kids at home, so we're trying to run around like crazy. Logan Bradley had a job that basically took him away from what we're doing, but he has a new gig, a new job, and so that means that he's going to be coming back to the podcast a little bit, so we're excited about that very, very, very much. Brendan, this has been a fun one. And I'm really looking forward to next week. How about we get to some shout outs and let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Brennan, who are you shouting out?
All right. So I am shouting out somebody I shouted out a long time ago. You know her. You read her work on Twitter and just the amount of threads and big tweets that she has. Kirsten Tanis. She recently got 5,000 followers, which is a huge deal for her. And I just told her it was well-deserved. And she reminded me of something. She told me, she's like, you were one of the first people that shouted me out, you know, for reading her stuff way back when. I forget when she started really just talking about the Bears on Twitter. And I told her, I was like, I didn't realize that made a big impact. I wanted to just highlight you and just shout you out for great work. And she's like, no, it really meant a lot. Like that, you know, people were starting to pay attention to me and it gave me confidence. And I'm paraphrasing, but I want to shout her out not only for just the incredible work that she does with covering the Bears and just talking about the Bears and her football knowledge, but also just for reminding me that like our shout outs and our words have impact. And if we can lift other people up, we definitely should do that. So shout out to you, Kirsten, for not only the great work, but for reminding me that we can continue to, you know, lift people up in this Bears universe, because I think it's a great thing. So keep doing you, and just thank you. So shout out to Kirsten. Shout out to my guy, Joey Christopoulos. Man, Joey is doing some phenomenal, phenomenal things. He has a show now on WLS AM. I think that's 850. He just got signed with CHGO doing their Big Ten shows with Corey Wooten. Joey's one of the nicest guys. He knows ball. He's so charismatic. And I said, if I could buy stock in this dude, I would. He needs more followers. He deserves more attention. So please go follow Joey. I'm super proud of you, man. And I'm so excited to see what you continue doing. So shout out to you, man. Quick shout out to Brenda Weber. Brenda, she's talked about it. She recently lost her father, unfortunately. Brenda's been one of our biggest fans. She's awesome. She's so awesome. She, you know, she loves the Bears. She's another person who just always lifts people up. So I want to lift you up, Brenda, and just say, you know, we've been thinking about you. We hope you're well. You know, hopefully the Bears can be a good distraction for you this year. And just seeing your posts about how much you were visiting your dad and how much, you know, the things you have from him now, how much they mean to you. I just want you to know that we're all thinking of you and we hope you're doing well. And my final shout out goes to DeWindy City Productions, Rashab. The dude did it again. The dude did it again. He cooked with his hype video, man.
It's incredible. It's so good. It's so good.
It is the best one yet. And I don't say that lightly because I love the work he does. I've watched it probably like 10 times now. I love the song choice. I love the clips that he does. Rashab, you are awesome. Keep doing your thing. Super proud of you, man. And it's just keep bringing the videos because hopefully we'll have more exciting moments for you to celebrate and get us all hyped for. So thank you, man. Shout out to you.
Oh man. It's a dangerous thing to be excited as a Bears fan, but he definitely does that. Brenda, Brendan said it so perfectly. I can't say anything more than what he said, but just all of us, we're thinking about you quite a bit. I got a couple shout outs to give. The first one is to our guy, Mike Schaefer. Now, Mike, Brennan, I know you also, you know what? Oh, I'm bringing you right back here. I know you also benefited from this. So my jersey, my Justin Fields jersey is now a Jalen Johnson jersey. I don't have it in front of me, but I will definitely show all of you. He'll get another shout out for it. It saves. He makes these tags, these name tags, and they are really, really, really good. I couldn't believe how fast it got to me. So if you get a chance, if you're like, oh my gosh, I got to throw out this Justin Fields. No, you don't. No, you don't. You can hold on to it and turn it into a Jalen Johnson jersey. It's really cool. Brennan, I don't know if you want to say anything about it.
Yeah, he just incredible work so fast. I was worried that I wasn't sure if he was still doing them because Brian, you texted me like, hey, like who's that guy that did your jersey? I was like, oh, it's Mike. I was like, you know, maybe just message him to see if he's doing it. And he's like, yeah, already got it figured out. I was like, awesome. I was like, that's how good Mike is. He makes them all himself. He's I don't know how he does it, but he's a lifesaver. And I hope that, well, no, let's just say, I hope, hopefully it doesn't have to be something where there's another popular jersey that we then have to remake. Just hopefully not. But if there ever is, I know Mike is the guy. So if you have any Justin Fields jerseys, email Mike. He does it for a very affordable rate too, by the way. Like, you save a ton of money versus buying a new jersey.
My next one goes to Gregory Bell. We've had a lot of back and forth, and you know, I've had a lot going on with my kids and work, and he just sent me a DM, said, "Hey man, I was just thinking about you, wanted to check in on you." That's what, Brendan, when you were talking about Bears family and Bears people lifting each other up, like, that was the coolest thing. So Gregory, man, I just, you're awesome. I don't know what else to say, man. I know that you have supported us. You've retweeted just about everything that we've done. We've interacted, we've laughed. And so just next thing, man, is when you're in the Chicagoland area, I got to buy you a beer. And that's the last thing that it comes down to. The last shout out that I have is a very, very good friend of mine. And this one took way too long. John Piltaver, my buddy Pill, who he's been on the pod. He's a fan of the pod. It feels like every time I talk to Pill, I'm asking him for help with something, because he's just so damn handy. And some of the things that he can do, he helped me with some an event that I had to have photographed, and he did it. And he did it just so phenomenally. So Pill, man, just thank you. And buddy, let's talk Bears, because it's time to bear down. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, thank you for those 5-star reviews. Thank you for liking and subscribing. Thank you for supporting our podcast. There are so many damn Bears podcasts out there. You can get your Bears content anywhere, but you have chosen to hang out with us. Folks, it does not get lost on us whatsoever. It means the world to us that we've got this thing going, and we're so excited. Make sure you check out this next episode that's upcoming for all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast. So that is Brendan Chagrou, Patrick Sheldon, Jack Wright, Logan Bradley, Cam Ellis. I'm Ryan Dangle, folks. Thank you so very, very much. And as always, Bear Down Chicago.